Sirius and Lupin had given Harry a set of excellent books entitled Practical Defensive Magic and Its Use Against the Dark Arts, which had superb moving colour illustrations of all the counter jinxes and hexes it described. Harry flicked through the first volume eagerly. He could see it was going to be highly useful in his plans for the DA. Hagrid had sent a furry brown wallet that had fangs, which were presumably supposed to be an anti-theft device, but unfortunately prevented Harry putting any money in without getting his fingers ripped off. Tonks's present was a small working model of a firebolt, which Harry watched fly around the room, wishing he still had his full-size version. Ron had given him an enormous box of every flavour beans, Mr. and Mrs. Weasley the usual hand-knitted jumper and some mince pies, and Dobby a truly dreadful painting that Harry suspected had been done by the elf himself. He had just turned it upside down to see whether it looked better that way when, with a loud crack, Fred and George apparated at the foot of his bed. "Merry Christmas," said George. "Don't go downstairs for a bit." "Why not?" said Ron. "Mum's crying again," said Fred heavily. "Percy sent back his Christmas jumper." "Without a note," added George. "Hasn't asked how Dad is or visited him or anything." "We tried to comfort her," said Fred, moving around the bed to look at Harry's portrait. "Told her Percy's nothing more than a humongous pile of rat droppings." "Didn't work," said George, helping himself to a chocolate frog. "So Lupin took over. Best let him cheer her up before we go down for breakfast, I reckon." "What's that supposed to be, anyway?" asked Fred, squinting at Dobby's painting. "Looks like a gibbon with two black eyes." "It's Harry," said George, pointing at the back of the picture. "Says so on the back." "Good likeness," said Fred, grinning. Harry threw his new homework diary at him. It hit the wall opposite and fell to the floor, where it said happily, "If you've dotted the I's and crossed the T's, then you may do whatever you please." They got up and dressed. They could hear various inhabitants of the house calling Merry Christmas to each other. On their way downstairs, they met Hermione.
"Thanks for the book, Harry," she said happily. "I've been wanting that new theory of numerology for ages, and that perfume is really unusual, Ron."
"No problem," said Ron. "Who's that for, anyway?" he added, nodding at the neatly wrapped present she was carrying.
"Creature," said Hermione brightly.
"It'd better not be clothes," said Ron warningly. "You know what Sirius said. Creature knows too much. We can't set him free."
"It isn't clothes," said Hermione, "although if I had my way, I'd certainly give him something to wear other than that filthy old rag. No, it's a patchwork quilt. I thought it would brighten up his bedroom."
"What bedroom?" said Harry, dropping his voice to a whisper as they were passing the portrait of Sirius's mother.
"Well, Sirius says it's not so much a bedroom, more a kind of den," said Hermione. "Apparently he sleeps under the boiler in that cupboard off the kitchen."
Mrs. Weasley was the only person in the basement when they arrived there. She was standing at the stove and sounded as though she had a bad head cold when she wished them Merry Christmas, and they all averted their eyes.
"So this is Creature's bedroom?" said Ron, strolling over to a dingy door in the corner opposite the pantry which Harry had never seen open.
"Yes," said Hermione, now sounding a little nervous.
I think we'd better knock."
Ron rapped the door with his knuckles, but there was no reply.
"He must be sneaking around upstairs," he said, and without further ado pulled open the door. "Ugh!"
Harry peered inside. Most of the cupboard was taken up with a very large and old-fashioned boiler, but in the foot space underneath the pipes, Creature had made himself something that looked like a nest. A jumble of assorted rags and smelly old blankets were piled on the floor, and the small dent in the middle of it showed where Creature curled up to sleep every night. Here and there among the material were stale bread crusts and mouldy old bits of cheese. In a far corner glinted small objects and coins that Harry guessed Creature had saved, magpie-like, from Sirius's purge of the house, and he had also managed to retrieve the silver-framed family photographs that Sirius had thrown away over the summer. Their glass might be shattered, but still the little black-and-white people inside them peered haughtily up at him, including, he felt a little jolt in his stomach, the dark, heavy-lidded woman whose trial he had witnessed in Dumbledore's pensive, Bellatrix Lestrange. By the looks of it, hers was Creature's favourite photograph. He had placed it to the fore of all the others and had mended the glass clumsily with spellotape.